Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode. Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Make Life Matter podcast. It is almost the end of the summer. I can't believe I'm saying that, but the beginning of August here as we are talking, and I hope you're still enjoying all of the summer things and family and vacations. It is about 1,000 degrees where I am right now. So if that's any indication, it's been a warm summer, but I hope it's been fulfilling. And I have just loved every single conversation that I've been able to bring you here on the podcast. Today is going to be no exception. And I wanted to start by asking you a question. Do you want to share your God story with greater confidence? Because every one of us has a story. Do you want to embrace evangelism, not out of obligation, but with enthusiasm? Well, Babbie Mason is here today, and she's a global faith leader. She is a 2-time Dove Award winner. She's a Grammy-nominated recording artist and songwriter. She's a Bible teacher. She's a host of the television show Babbie's House. And she continues her mission of evangelism with her brand new book that released this week, inspired by one of her chart-topping singles, which I have to be honest, I'm a little fangirling. I used to sing it with my sisters growing up. Each One, Reach One, Everyday Ways You Can Shine God's Light, reflecting Matthew 5:16. So Babbie is here to help us lift the light of the gospel higher than ever before and find our own unique style of talking about Jesus. Welcome, Babbie. I'm so honored to have you here on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so very much for having me today. I'm so happy to be with you.
Well, you're so gracious. And I have to be honest, I'm usually so calm, cool, and collected, but I called my dad this morning for something else. I said, Dad, just guess who I'm interviewing today on the podcast. I have a very musical family, Babbie. And so we grew up in the ministry, and my sisters and I sang all through the 80s and 90s together. Not professionally, but that's my undergrad was in music. And so music has been my life. And so I've admired and appreciated you and your music and your ministry for many, many years. So it's really a joy to have you here today.
Well, thank you. And thank you for just acknowledging, you know, the music from the history of my ministry. And listen, that is my answer to prayer. When I write these songs and you know, I go back to cassettes and CDs and now digital downloads. I kind of span the decades and I'm still here. God is so faithful and so gracious to allow me to still be singing and writing and recording and speaking and writing books. And just to know that somewhere along the line, this ministry has impacted your life and the life of your family. That literally is the answer to my prayer.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah, for those of you that are younger, there were something before a digital download. There were cassette tapes, there were CDs, there were albums, there were vinyl. So yeah, we were doing all the things, and just such a joy to have you here today, Babbie. But I'm excited because we're not talking about your music today. Indirectly, we are. I'm going to ask you about that in just a second. But if you're watching this on YouTube, it is Each One, Reach One, her brand new book that has just come out. And this is really inspired by one of your chart-topping hits that I remember so well. I'm sure many of our audience does. And the result of a recent epiphany and a simple prayer. And I want to read this. You prayed this, Lord, will you give me more opportunities to share my faith with others, even when I'm not on stage? If you open a door, I will shine my light, share my faith, and walk through it. Amen. I love this prayer, Babbie. So can you share the heart, not only behind the song, Each One, Reach One, but what is now the message of your new book?
Absolutely. Well, this whole journey of sharing my faith it's a lifelong evolution. You know, I grew up as a preacher's kid in Michigan, and I have always been on stage. I started playing the piano for my father's church when I was just 9 years old. As the full-time, you know, the only person, even as a 9 year old, the primary pianist and choir director, and just, you know, kind of graduated into ministry over the seasons. And I've always been on stage. And so I've been able to share my faith. I came to Christ as an 8 year old, so I've been walking with Jesus for a long time. And so it's always been easy for me to share my faith from the stage because I could recite my testimony, you know, kind of like I was reading a script or had memorized a script. But when it came time for me to share my faith one-on-one with others, I would become intimidated. I couldn't find the right words to say. I would stammer and I'd stutter. And I, you know, in the 80s, in the early 90s, we took those evangelism courses, and I took those courses and, you know, tried to memorize the right words and the 3 points and the poem and all of that. But when it came time again for me to be in a conversation one-on-one with someone who didn't know the Lord, I'd forget the spiel. You know, I'd forget the words. I'd forget the 3 points that I was supposed to have memorized. And so when I reached a very important pinnacle in my life, I reached my 50th year of walking with the Lord. That was a few years ago. But when I reached that very important pinnacle in my life, I made that confession to the Lord. And I said, you know, Lord, I want to change that. I want to be a bolder, more confident witness for you. I want literally, as Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, I really do with all of my heart want to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify my Father who is in heaven. And not only did God answer that prayer, he answered that prayer in a way that I was not even expecting. That's the kind of God we serve. He even began to answer that prayer in miraculous ways. And he began to put me in situations and circumstances where I could share my faith with others. And the way that he began to do it really is the miraculous thing. He began to help me to meet the needs of others. You know, we're living in a season now where so many people are hurting. And, you know, you can just go down the long list of things that are causing people distress and despondency and discouragement and depression and, you know, families and broken households and financial distress and political unrest and racial unrest and all of these things that just kind of compress onto our lives and cause us great distress. Well, I began to see people in need, and I've learned that when people are in need, they are much more open to hearing the message of Christ because we're all looking for a lifeline in our time of distress. And so the Lord just began to show me that by meeting the needs of others, as I meet their need, as I express my heart with compassion and, you know, speak a kind word or whatever it is in the moment that the Lord has called me to do, allowed me to do it with compassion. And then I can share Jesus with people who are hurting. Their hearts are open. The Bible has challenged us to do everything with kindness as a fruit of the Spirit. And using the fruit of the Spirit with love and compassion, I've been able to share my faith with others in some of the most amazing ways and some of the most amazing places. And the book is filled full of wonderful stories of how God just ordered my footsteps and placed me in wonderful circumstances and situations where I could share my faith. And so I wrote the book to tell my story of how God did all that and how he answered my prayer, but also to challenge other believers to pray a similar prayer, to ask God for more boldness, to ask God for more confidence, to put the words in our mouth, to continue to order our steps so that we can share our faith in Christ.
I love so much about that. And I want to hear one of your favorite stories in just a moment. But I love how you mentioned, even if we're not on stage, you identify a pain point of a lot of people that have maybe served in ministry, and there's a comfortability level kind of in what we're used to. But then in the organic real world, there can be this kind of fight or flight or freeze moment. And so I love that you're helping us to not just see this as a to-do list and a checking off. I've witnessed this someone today, or I've shared my testimony today, but how can I meet a need? I mean, if we can start with that, Babby, then there's the frame, not only a posture of availability, which is so important, that we want to look for the open door, the divine opportunity, because God will give them to us. If we ask for those opportunities, he will give them to us. And I also love how you're encouraging us not to see evangelism as this obligation, but to really embrace it as an opportunity to meet need. And how could you help us to find our own unique style of talking about Jesus? You mentioned, well, the Lord has opened up these doors and you've had these conversations, but if that's new for someone, what would be your encouragement to first know how they can just be themselves in those moments?
Yes. Well, I suggest, just like in my own life, that you start with your own personal story, that you start with your own personal God story, and you remember who you were before you came to Christ. What was your story before you came to Jesus? What was life like for you? What was the pain like? for you? What were your circumstances that led you to realize that you needed Christ? And if you can think about where you were, because sometimes we forget, and we often think that, well, we forget about our past, and that we lose the compassion for others. And so when we think about our past, it brings back, you know, that reason why we need Jesus in the first place. So remember your story. And then secondly, I really, one of the things that really motivated me to pray that prayer, to ask God to give me more opportunities to share my faith, is because I wanted to be obedient to the scriptures. The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, and what I call the Great Mandate of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, they're not suggestions.
Right.
They're commands.
Right.
And both of those passages, if you look at them closely, both of those passages begin with action verbs. The Great Commission says go, which means to step out and proceed. And then Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 begins with the action verb let, which means to surrender, to acquiesce, to yield the right of way, to give permission, grant permission. And so the Lord is challenging us to put our running shoes on and go into your world, wherever that takes you. And another thing that the Lord is challenging me is not to see myself as this thing that I have to do. Of course, it is an obligation. It's a spiritual obligation. It's a matter of obedience, but it is also a matter of joy. Let me tell you, after the Lord brings these encounters my way and I have the opportunity to share Christ with someone who's in need, someone who is hurting, and literally not one single solitary time is anybody, and when I meet their need and I share the Lord with them, not one person has put up their hand and say, no, I don't want to hear that. But they've always been open. As a matter of fact, that they've been hungry. They have, I've prayed for people. Nobody has ever said, don't pray for me. As a matter of fact, people say, yes. I always ask if I can pray for people before I do. I say, do you mind if I pray for you? And not one single solitary time has anyone ever said, no, don't pray for me. And so I challenge you to just step out in faith. And as a matter of obedience, find what it is that's in your hand. Now, what's in my hand are encouraging words. I never meet a stranger. I love to lift up people. I love to talk to strangers in the airport or in the hotel waiting area or in the doctor's office or the hospital waiting room, wherever that takes me. I love to engage with strangers. Now, somebody else might say, well, I'm a little shy, but maybe you work well with children. Or maybe you are a master chef or a flight attendant or an airline pilot or a school teacher. Wherever it is that God has placed you, he's placed you there on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. And so whatever that gift is that you have in your hand, you can use that gift to make God look good. That's how I define giving him glory. I say, I want to make God look good, which is the latter part of Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. We do it for his glory. We do it to make him look good. So I say it's a matter of obedience. And when you do it, you will find the greatest joy when you share the gospel with others and you see the impact that the love of Christ is making on the lives of others. It brings the most amazing joy for that person that you're ministering to, and also to you, the person who's been able to share the gospel.
I love that. I love there's some practical tips in there for us as well. But who doesn't need more joy? Whether it's the clerk that you're seeing at CVS or, you know, like you said, the school teacher, we all need that. And so many of us are so distracted that just to speak to someone, a stranger, and to take a moment to look them in the face, thank them for what they do, even that can be an open door. I want to ask you about something you said, because even your title, Babby, says each one. Reach one. And so my husband has said a couple of times in the pulpit, listen, this mandate, the Great Commission, and what you're referring to as the mandate in Matthew 5:16, it's not for just the people who think, well, I've got the word evangelist as a title by my name. This is for all believers. Help us understand how evangelism, really what you're describing is sharing your story. I thought of the woman at the well when you were talking about that. She didn't have the title evangelist. She didn't have a PhD in theology, but she had a story.
Yes.
And she knew that her past, as you just said, What would happen, Babby? I was thinking when we were talking, what would happen if we allowed conversations to be places of identification and building a bridge rather than contention? You know, we're just so quick right now in a divisive, contentious culture to find something to argue about. But what if it's, you know what? I've been through that. I remember what it was like, rather than being annoyed with a mom with littles that's loud in a situation, perhaps, but to remember what it was like when it was you with the littles and kind of pulling your hair out in the middle of the supermarket. So to find identification. And that's what the woman at the well did. She went back and said, come and hear the person who's told me everything I've ever done. And so her story is what she led with. So how could you help some of us that maybe have seen this whole space as reserved for the evangelist? That's for just the outgoing extrovert who has this gift, quote unquote. Kind of help us debunk that myth a little bit, Babby.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've discovered personally, and as I've read through the scriptures and I looked at the life of Jesus, when we look at the life of Jesus, who models all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we see, and I talk a lot about kindness in the Bible. One of the things that I point out in this book, Each One, Reach One, and one of the great characteristics of Jesus that we read in the Word is how Jesus practiced kindness. Jesus never judged. He never pointed a long finger of judgment and said, you know, you could have done it like this. If you would have done it like this, or you should have done it like that. But Jesus, he never judged, but with love and compassion, I think of the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. I tell her story in the book, along with so many other women in the Bible. But I'll start with the woman caught in the act of adultery. And she was dragged into the temple where Jesus was teaching. And the Pharisees were there in the midst. And they were not there to learn more about the teachings of Christ. They were there to try to catch Jesus in saying something that might be considered blasphemy, so they would have a reason to crucify him. But while Jesus was teaching, they brought in this woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. And the first question is, where was the man? So we know that this was a plot in order to destroy Jesus and his work. And after Jesus saw what was going on, he knelt down in the dirt and began to write in the dirt. We don't know what it was that he wrote. Maybe it was the Ten Commandments. Maybe it was the sins of those that were in attendance who were judging that woman, or maybe who had other thoughts on their mind. Maybe Jesus was writing down those thoughts. Maybe he wrote down the Ten Commandments that they were breaking in those moments. But whatever it is that he wrote in the dirt, it caused those men to drop the stones that they were ready to throw at this poor woman. And they all walked away, from the oldest to the youngest, the passage says. And Jesus was left there to minister to this dear woman. And here's my point. He didn't say to her, shame on you. But he said, in essence, shame off you. He said, where are your accusers now? She says, there's no one here to accuse me now. And he said, well, go and sin no more. In other words, go and live the life that God has chosen for you to live. Mm. And what a great message that is for us in this world that is very volatile and touchy, and you can hardly have a conversation without it being explosive. But what Jesus is teaching me, and what I'm hoping to teach others, is drop the stones, let go of the judgment. And when we can see people through the eyes of compassion, but not see people through the eyes of our difference, because we can do much more together than we can do apart. Absolutely. And so the Lord is teaching me to look at people through the eyes of Jesus, not through the eyes of judgment. Boy, that's good. Mm. I should write that down.
Yes,
look
ma'am.
At people through the eyes of Jesus, not through the eyes of judgment.
Yes.
And even if they're different, even if they speak a different language, or even if they're from a different culture, or maybe a different denomination, or a different side of town, or a different occupation. It doesn't matter. Everybody needs Jesus.
Yes.
And so that would be my word of encouragement, is to see people the way that Jesus would see them, through the eyes and through the heart of his love, through compassion. And when we do, when we see people as people who need Jesus, then you cannot wait to guide that conversation to share the love of Christ with them.
You're right. It starts with our own internal mindset and heart shift that needs to happen in those moments so that we can step back from our own maybe inconvenience or our bias or whatever we're bringing to the table and say, Lord, how can you use me in this moment, in this encounter? You mentioned the encounter of this woman. Well, I mentioned the woman at the well. You mentioned the woman caught in the act of adultery. Such a profound story of God's grace to us when we don't deserve it, and the way that we're so quick to judge others rather than, as you said, to find places of identification and lift them up out of that. But you also talk about encounters in the book that you personally have had. So I would love to hear just one of those stories that has stuck with you that you share, a moment that you'll never forget as you've shared your own story and shown the love of God to others.
Listen, I share so many stories in my book, and some of them are hilariously funny. Some of them break my heart. And not only were they just for the book, you know, they really happened in my life. I think the grocery store is that's my mission field. The grocery store is my mission field because it seems like every time I go to the grocery store or wherever I'm out shopping, I meet somebody. You know, you have to go where the people are. If you want to share Jesus, go where the people are, because where the people are is where brokenness is where people who need Jesus. So I'll tell you, this story comes to my mind. I remember I prayed that prayer, God, if you guide my footsteps, if you put me in a position where I can share my faith, if you'll give me the words to say, I will open my mouth and I will tell somebody about you. And sometimes that person is not a believer and I can share Jesus with that person. I prayed and led people to Jesus. Or it could be a believer who needs encouragement. Or it could be a dad who's homeless, or a dad who doesn't have a job. Or I could go on with the stories. They are just so amazing because all I did was say, yes, yes, God, use me. And if you say yes, trust me, he will answer your prayer. So I'll share a story with you. I was in the process of writing the book and I had been behind my computer for hours and hours and hours. I needed to stretch my legs. But typically, you know, if I need to just kind of clear my head, I'll make a dash into one of my favorite department stores. And so I went to my favorite department store and I grabbed a cart and I was headed for my favorite aisle, which is where the lavender soaps and the aromatherapy and stuff usually is.
The de-stress
right
aisle.
Exactly, the de-stress aisle. And so as I was walking into the store and I had my cart, right behind me was an older lady and she was dressed to the nines. I mean, this beautiful dear lady had on an outfit like she had stepped out of a magazine. She had on a beautiful woolen suit. It must have been the fall of the year. She had on a plaid woolen suit of autumn colors with a blouse and a scarf and a matching brooch and a hat with a feather. And the hat was just leaned over her brow just so.
Wow.
And that, I mean, really, she was just beautiful. Well, she took my breath away and I had to tell her. This is what I love. I love engaging with strangers. And so I said to her, excuse me, ma'am, but may I just tell you how beautiful you look today? Well, that dear lady took that compliment and began to run with it. She put her hand on her hip and she began to walk right out there in front of me down the aisle of the TJ Maxx, sporting her beautiful outfit. And then she got a few feet away from me. She turned on her heels and she began to walk back toward me. Well, I got in the game. I took out my imaginary camera and I said, work it, girl, work it. The camera loves you. And we were just having this wonderful moment, just two complete strangers. And we laughed, and she made her way back to me. And this is what I know kindness does. This is what I know about kindness. This is what I love practicing about kindness. Is kindness opens up the heart like a flower. Kindness allows the Holy Spirit. It's just this moment where the Holy Spirit walks into our situation and he softens the heart so that his love can minister to that person's need. And I saw him do it, and I see him do it every time a situation like this happens. And so I said to this dear lady, I gave her that compliment. She showed off her outfit. She worked her way back to me. We laughed and laughed. And then this is what she said. She said that her husband had passed 6 months prior to that, and that he used to compliment her every day on her outfits and how beautiful she looked in her clothes. And she said that since her husband had passed, her house was very quiet and there was no one there to tell her how beautiful she looked. She said, my compliment to her was the first compliment that she had received since her husband had passed in
Abby.
6 months. Now, here's the amazing thing. I didn't know what that lady needed, but God did. And I'm just so humbled that in my, listen, this is not about me boasting. I'm boasting on Christ here. But what a beautiful opportunity for God to use me to give that woman exactly what it was that she needed. I didn't know that she thrived on compliments, but this is what I know. The steps of the righteous people are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says. And he ordered my steps that day to that store in order to meet that lady's need. And so she began to share her heart. Listen, it only took a few minutes. And we all have 2 or 3 minutes to minister Jesus. And she shared her story. And after she was finished, you know, opening up her heart, I listened with two things. I listened with empathy. Because I've been there. I've lost a loved one before. Both of my parents are in heaven, loved ones and friends. I have many deposits in heaven. So I listened with empathy and I listened with sympathy. I listened with compassion. I listened with care. And as she shared her story, I listened. And when she was finished, I said, my dear friend, do you mind if I pray for you? And as I said a moment ago, not a single person has ever said, no, don't pray for me. As a matter of fact, they've been eager for me to pray. And she said, yes, please pray for me. I need your prayers. I took that dear lady by the hands. I prayed a simple prayer, no anointing oil, no scriptures, no Bible lesson, just love and compassion. And in a few moments, she said, after I was finished with my prayer, she said, do you mind if I hug you? Well, I'm a good hugger. I'm a mother and a grandmother. I wrapped that dear lady in my arms and like I was a long lost friend, but I certainly was a lifeline that day. And in just a few moments, she went her way and I went mine. But I can tell you story after story how the Lord has placed me in the grocery store, in the airport, in the hospital waiting room, at the gas station, where he has prompted my heart to be kind, and kindness led to an opportunity where I could share my faith and lead somebody to the Lord or pray with someone or speak a kind word or show an act of kindness. And I'm just looking forward to the next time that he allows me to make him look good.
Oh, I just love that so much. I can picture that whole story in my head. It was just so beautiful to see. And Pappy, what that does is help all of us listening to think, you know what? I can do that. This is not so intimidating. You don't need to make sure you have the book of Romans memorized before you open your mouth. You don't need to have all the answers to all the questions. I think we anticipate, but what if they ask this? What if this happens? What if that? And so we don't even start. But all of us can take a moment, give a compliment, say something kind, lead with kindness. We don't have to turn around and read them John 3:16 right out of the start gate. The Lord will lead us. But if we start, we have to give him an open door. We have to give the Holy Spirit room to say, I'm available here. I want you to use me. And if you'll open the door, I will then say the words, and all of us can do what you just described. So I love that you just kind of took that intimidation that some of us may attach to the simple idea of sharing our faith or sharing our God story with confidence, empathizing to say, oh my goodness, you know, a year ago I lost so-and-so and I can't imagine how this must be for you. And tell me about him a little bit. I mean, we can all do this.
Precisely.
Right.
Thank
That's
you.
The thing. We can
That's
all
the
do
thing.
This. We can all do this. We don't all need to have the masters of theology to do this. It's great if you do, but I'm just saying what Babby's sharing is, and that's why I love this title. Each one, reach one. What if we all, if every single person, Babby, would do this, every single Christ follower, a person who calls himself a follower of Christ, would look every day for an opportunity. I've had the simplest thing because I love jewelry, for example. So I might have a stack of bracelets on a plane and then I notice a piece of, there we go. And I notice and I didn't have them because sometimes they hit the desk and make all this noise in an interview, but I might notice a stewardess's jewelry or they've noticed mine and that'll just be, oh, thank you. I got this in Africa or I had this from a friend that did this or that. And you just start a conversation without agenda. I think we get so hung up on, I've got to lead them to Christ in the next 2 minutes instead of just, I just want to have an opportunity to show kindness and let the love of Jesus shine. And as you said, make Jesus look good. Make God look good. He's a good God. He's a loving God.
Yes.
And he longs. The Bible says he longs to show himself compassionate to people. He had compassion even in the worst moment on the cross, Babby. What does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That is compassion to the nth degree. And I know it's not easy. I know we have busy lives and our minds are on a million things, but we can give kindness and then ask the Lord, I'm going to, in my frailty, in my feeble attempts, in my humble approach here, you're going to take that and you're going to breathe on it and do something extraordinary with it. I want to read something you shared before we wrap up because I want them to get a copy of this book, Babby. And you've said that we can use this book as a personal evangelism tool, kind of as we're talking about today. And so I love this that you've shared about it. As you read, be open to personal challenges. You even said the way the Lord challenged you, even as you were writing it. And introspection, pay special attention to areas in your life where you can grow and advance in sharing your faith. Or you may choose to invite a small group of friends to journey with you. I love that. I can imagine doing that and coming back the next week and saying, all right, so how did we do this week? You know,
what conversation? And you can share your God stories around the coffee
table. Exactly. Share the God stories and how they're so faith building, right? They're so faith building. And then you can share your experience together is what we're saying. Either way, as you read, write, pray, and imagine what your heart, Babby, really is that you're trusting God to speak to our heart, to give us those divine opportunities. So I just want to thank you. Where do you want people to go and get a copy, connect with you, to know the ministry that you're continuing to do for the kingdom?
Well, you can easily go to Amazon.com and just search Each One, Reach One, Babby Mason, or you can visit my official website, which is Babby.com, first name only, Babby.com. And all the resources. This book is an interactive book, meaning, of course, all of the chapters are there, but there are also links in the book where you can aim your phone to that link, and it will take you to a link where you can open it up. And I do a Bible study, a quick overview, and a Bible study, words of encouragement for every chapter. There are also chapters at the end of there are also questions at the end of every chapter. And there are also some interviews that I do that are bonus videos that are a part of the book. They're also accessible by links in the book. And there are several people whose lives have been touched and changed as a result of of this ministry, God Stories, that worked their way back to me. And I put those interviews in there because I just want people to know that when you're out and about, when you're engaging with people, your words matter, your behavior matters, your light is shining, and you don't know how your life and your light are impacting people, but it will. And so I share those interviews to just encourage you to encounter people with love, kindness, and compassion. There was one day that I went shopping, and I heard the voice of a little girl singing on the next aisle. She couldn't have been more than 7 or 8. And so I bent my cart to the next aisle and I saw this little girl shopping with her daddy and the school teacher. I'm a former school teacher, and the school teacher and me came out and I said to this gentleman, your baby has a wonderful musical gift. This little girl was singing to the top of her lungs. She was nailing the melody line with her little inflections. And so I said to the dad, you've got to get this baby into some lessons, get her a piano teacher, get her in the school choir, get her in the church choir, whatever you do, get this girl and keep this girl in music. And he promised me that he would. Well, fast forward about 15 years later, I was in the doctor's office making my appointment for the next month when a young girl from behind the desk said, excuse me, Mrs. Mason, but do you remember about 15 years ago, you met a little girl shopping on the aisle with her daddy and She was singing, and you told her daddy to get that little girl into music lessons and get her in the kids' choir. She said, well, that little girl was me. And she said, I just want you to know that your words mattered.
Wow.
And that my dad listened to your words. She said, she said that her dad wasn't walking with the Lord at that time. Her family was estranged. Parents were talking about divorce. But she said that day made a difference in the life of her family and the life of her dad. And they got in church. Their marriage was salvaged. And today, that young lady is leading worship in her local church.
Come on.
And so I just want to challenge those of you that are watching, those of you that are listening, those of you that, you know, really have this desire to share your faith and you don't know how to begin, begin with a simple prayer.
Yes.
Begin with that simple prayer and just say, God, my heart is open. I know that it's your kindness that leads to repentance. And I want to use kindness. I want to use compassion. I want to use care to lead others to you. And that, I think that's the perfect place to begin.
I love that so much. I love that so much. That, I mean, as you were talking, I'm like, please be this girl. Please be the girl. Please be the girl. So that's what I'm saying. And
I said, please be the girl.
I
and
know,
she
right?
And was the girl.
And the grace of God to give you that moment to let you see that that act of obedience 15 years earlier.
It was a miracle. It was surely a miracle that number one, she would remember and it would impact her life. And the second thing is, I remember that incident like it was yesterday. And the fact then the Lord brought us back together again 15 years later, and she was able to share her story in the Bible study.
That's amazing.
So it's just miracle upon miracle upon miracle. But that is what happens when you just say yes.
Yes. If every time we were to walk into a place, Lord, how do you want to use me here? What do you want me to say? Look for the divine appointments. And that's the point. They're divine appointments. He's going to give you the open door. I'm laughing, Babby, because I know we have to wrap up, but I'll tell you a real quick story. So I just wrote a book with my dad almost 2 years ago. He just turned 81, and we're touring, going to Central America this fall, because now it's out in Spanish. It's been one of the greatest gifts of my life to have this experience. But maybe 10 years ago, I do a lot of ministry in Africa, and he went with me to Tanzania. And I mean, I couldn't even get out of the first airport, Babby. And I have a blog in one of my devotionals called Whistles and Witness, because he whistles instinctively everywhere. He always has, as long as I've known him. He's a wonderful whistler. He'd come to the door at work and I could hear him. I know he was home before he was home because I could hear his whistle. So we would just be walking through, and it's effortless. He'd whistle and then he'd say something kind. He'd whistle and then he'd fall into, you must know Jesus the way you're talking to me at this counter this morning. And it dawned on me, and I put in the blog, I realized about day two on this trip, I was never going to make it through a day that my dad was not going to whistle and witness.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't care if we were in the Amsterdam airport, somewhere in a game drive, somewhere in a hotel, he never missed an opportunity to share kindness that often led to some conversation about Christ or a prayer. And as you said, I never saw anyone reject an invitation for prayer. And I just started laughing because I thought, there's no point in me. I'm just going to sit back and kind of just, you know, go on
Take
this
some
road.
Notes.
Yeah. And it was just so impactful to me to watch him do this like it was breathing. It was like breathing for him, Babby. And I think
it was effortless.
It was effortless. And it became to where he didn't even think. It was just, it is. It's him. He still does it. He's second nature. And so what can feel so awkward and uncomfortable and maybe intimidating, and the first time you do it, maybe in a TJ Maxx, you're like, oh, this feels so weird. You're going to survive. You're going to be fine. If you fumble your way through it, it's fine. But eventually, if you make this the posture of your heart, everywhere you go, the Lord will know that he can entrust you with divine opportunities. And
yes.
So more and more and more and more has been entrusted to my father, because he's willing to say yes in the small things. If you want God to use you in the big moments, just be available and steward the small moments well. And that's where character is built. That's where he's watching and he's shaping and he's growing us, so that when the big moments come, I mean, they're all big. I don't even want to say one. I mean, the moment of you standing with a 7-year-old singing is a big moment.
It's a big deal.
It's a big
all
moment.
A big deal. And when you do that, then you will actually be an evangelist.
That's right.
You know, we think of the evangelist as the preacher or the pastor or the Sunday school teacher or the person who runs the neighborhood revival. But really, the evangelist is a person who leads others to Jesus through love and compassion.
That's right. That's the
And
simple definition. And let God
we can all be
decide.
that.
Yes, and God let God decide the outcome. We're not responsible for the outcome. We're just responsible for the obedience to let that even happen. And I wonder how many divine appointments go missed in stores and in planes and in schools because we're either too busy, too distracted, too afraid, whatever it is. If we could let all that go and just let the
Yes.
Holy Spirit do what he does. So thank you, Babby. You even reminded me of those moments with my dad, and I won't forget them.
Sweet.
Those people won't forget them either. But Babby's going to pray for us. And I want you, especially Babby, to just pray for anyone who does not feel like they have that confidence to do. God will give you the confidence and strength. But I always love to close with one last question, and that you're making your life matter. You have for many years and continue to make your life matter for the kingdom, Babby. But who was the person in the Bible, other than Jesus, who has most inspired you to make your life matter for the kingdom?
Oh, my goodness. Well, in the Bible, there are so many. I love the women of the Bible.
Yes.
And you mentioned the woman caught in the act of adultery. I love the story of Mary Magdalene. And I love her because, number one, she had a story like all of us.
Yes.
We all have a story. She had a story of demonic oppression. And she fell in love with Jesus because he delivered her demonic oppression. She had a story that was worth telling, and we all do. We have a story that needs to be told. So her life was changed. She contributed to the ministry of Jesus. She supported Jesus' ministry. She was there behind the scenes in so many of the stories. And after the resurrection of Jesus, she thought Jesus was the gardener, but he actually was resurrected from the dead. She saw him in his glorified body. She ran back to tell the disciples, listen, I have just seen Jesus. And so even though she was a person who was behind the scenes and sometimes unassuming, she really was a big deal. And that is the reason why I love her story. And that is why I'm challenging all of you. You might think, well, your story doesn't matter. You might think, well, I'm nobody special. I'm not really a big deal. Well, look at the life of Mary Magdalene, and I hope that that changes your mind. Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life. You matter to God. Your story matters to God. I used to think because I wasn't hooked on drugs or I didn't have alcohol in my past or, you know, I didn't, you know, have this tremendous testimony that my testimony didn't matter or that my testimony was boring. But listen, are you saved? Are you healed? Are you delivered? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you blessed?
Yeah.
Then you have a story.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
It doesn't matter what your story is, somebody can identify with it. And so I want to challenge you to just tell your story and then take that story into your world with kindness, love, and compassion. And as Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, the whole book is written around what I call the great mandate that says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. That'll preach. There's your sermon for the day. This whole episode is just about to take a lap. I'm just about to get up and take a lap when I'm done.
Yes.
It's just so encouraging. I literally am like, where am I going today? I'm going to the gym later today. Lord,
I gotta go. I gotta go.
Open door.
And when you see that, it makes you excited.
It does. It
makes you excited to go and share your faith.
And excitement. I teach voice lessons still one day a week, and they'll get real nervous before it's recital time or audition or something. And I'll say, listen, your body just is producing adrenaline. It cannot tell the difference between fear and excitement. You got to retrain that narrative. And maybe we just have been afraid to share our story. But if we can let that fuel us for excitement. And like you said, once one conversation, the next conversation, 10, 20, the fear is gone. Now it's just expectancy. God, you're going to show up. You're going to breathe on this ordinary moment, and it's going to become extraordinary because you're in it. And then it's just this joyride that Babby's experienced, that my father walks through everywhere he goes like that. I don't even count how many people he's shared the gospel with. And it's a beautiful thing. So guys, it's the book, Each One Reach One, the title of the song so many of us loved years ago, is now a brand new book, just came out this week. Babby, it's been such a joy to sit and talk with you. The light that you carry of the gospel of Jesus Christ is so evident in your life. And thank you
Amen.
For blessing us. Would you just pray, especially for our listeners, that maybe just this is new for them, and we just pray this is the catalyst for God to use them in new ways.
I'd love to. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you today, and we thank you, God, for the way you love us, the way you gave us Jesus. You said in the word in John 3:16, for you so loved us. You loved us to such an extent that you gave us Jesus, and that whosoever should believe in you should not perish, but have everlasting life. And because of that great story, God, you've changed our lives. And so help us to remember what you've done for us. Help us to remember that we once were sinners, that we were separated from you. But all because of Jesus, you bridged that gap and you brought us back together. You reconciled us through Jesus Christ back to your heart. And so, Father, help us to remember what you've done for us. And then, Father, I pray for that person who is apprehensive or fearful about sharing their faith. But if they can remember to use kindness, to use compassion, to care about that person who is hurting, not to be judgmental, but to love and just kick judgment and second guessing to the curb and speak words of kindness and compassion. Just care about people, love people without judgment, and just see, just begin to watch you give us confidence, to watch you give us love and compassion, to watch you put mercy and kindness in our hands so that we can make the world a better place, so we can usher your love, your compassion into wherever it is that we are. And when we do that, we are going to make you look good. We are going to populate heaven, and we are going to walk away knowing, first of all, that you are with us in that moment. And then you're going to fill our heart with so much joy that we will not be able to wait until the next time you place us in a position where we can tell others about you. I pray your special blessings over all of those who are watching today. And I pray, God, that you'll fill their hearts full of love and compassion so that they can go out into their world and make you look good. Thank you for this time that we've been able to share together. We love you and thank you for it all. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at angeladonatio.com. Facebook at Angela Donatio VOV, and Instagram at Angela Donatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.